El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a fucking internet place, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions. But now, I don't do anything, ever. Joining me today, he is the host of an Unpops Network podcast called Bleak in Review that you should give a listen to sometime, goddammit. He's also a really great comedian. You should check him out telling jokes whenever that's allowed again. I know I say that every week. It's coronavirus season. What else am I supposed to say? Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Anderson. Also joining me, our next guest is one of my co-hosts on a fantastic Unpops Network podcast called Conspiracy the Show. Also, another fantastic comedian who you should go see tell jokes sometime when that's allowed. Again, what do you want me to say? There's nothing happening in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Hydar. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host today, my favorite co-host of all. I don't have a co-host. I just got a couple of guests.
Woo!
Guests you all know and love and have heard so many times on this network. For example, Olivia Hydar is here.
Hey, hello.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's all right. Living the good life up here in the pandemic.
You were on an episode of this podcast recently, I do believe.
Yes, we are talking about a related subject.
I do declare.
the police protests and the Black Lives Matter protests.
And we're talking about similar shit today. But before we get to that, also here, Kevin Anderson from the Bleak and Review podcast.
Ever heard of it? Statistically, probably not.
Me and Kevin did an ill-fated episode of the Burner Phone Show recently that was 11 different kinds of chaos.
Was that? Oh, yeah. That was when the last three calls all came in at the same time.
Yes. And by that point, my mixer had stopped recording for some reason.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Yeah. It's all.
So
I just
you know
didn't
me
even...
from bad episodes behind the paywall.
I didn't even release it. It was so fucking chaos.
That was just old school radio, baby. We just did it for in the moment.
And if you recall, I paid $50 to record that episode because of the software we use for it.
Oh, that's my true. God.
That's true.
So it was time and money wasted. Very nice. But this episode's coming out, God damn it. It's got to. I can't afford to just not put out stuff that I record. And as Olivia mentioned, we're talking about a thing that we've talked about a bunch recently, which is police violence and the Black Lives Matter protests, which I think a lot of people would be surprised to know are still happening.
Yeah. I thought we fixed everything. We fixed it, though, all right? There's no more protests.
Well, the way the media was covering it for a while there, you would think they were just done.
Yeah. No, 100%.
If you watch the news, like just the normal news, I don't think you would realize the scale at which protests and different activities are still happening.
Yeah, they're still happening in the United States. They're still happening all around the world. And as with any news story, there are a lot of aspects and details to these protests that aren't getting reported, I would argue, enough. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Can't report on everything. I mean, I found it in the news, so I guess CNN could probably wedge it in to their coronavirus coverage. But what do I know? Baseball's back. Who's got time to worry?
Oh, thank God. Thank God that baseball is back.
I mean, I am excited that baseball's back.
Baseball's back. Tennis is back. So no white people are going to be paying attention to Black Lives Matter anymore.
Because we're all playing tennis.
Yes.
But the protests are definitely still happening. They're still happening all around the country. And there's some weirdness happening with some of them. So we're just going to talk about some of the underreported stories from the Black Lives Matter protests. This first one isn't really from the Black Lives Matter protests. It just
happened at the same time, and it involves a large group of angry protesters confronting the police.
It's definitely in the same cinematic universe.
Yeah. It's a prequel, it's the Black if nothing Widow. Else.
Officer Strange.
Oh, boy.
And
really strange.
This is a really strange story.
Jesus Christ.
Extremely weird, and also weird that it wasn't bigger news.
Yeah.
I have taken to just calling it the Milwaukee sex trafficking house story because it happened in Milwaukee, and it involves a house that is suspected of being involved in sex trafficking.
Straightforward.
And basically, back in June, community organizers in Milwaukee were alerted that two teenage girls who'd been reported missing were seen moving between a red van and a house on North 40th Street in Milwaukee. So a crowd gathers outside this house because 2020 is the time for vigilante justice. And a crowd showed up at this house, you know, with some questions.
Yeah.
And inquiring minds.
Seeking some information. And this is a house that police had been called to 27 times in the past 4 years.
Yeah, it's like the house that everyone knows is where kids are taken, basically. It had a reputation for being like a creepy house.
Yeah, there was a house in my neighborhood where this guy, it was well known that if you were a kid out playing in the neighborhood and you were thirsty, you could just knock on his door and get a glass of water. And I did that once. And at that same time, there were two other neighborhood kids, both girls. And he was really weird about me being there when they came walking out. And it's like, oh, that's why you're giving us all water.
Oh,
I get
no.
it now.
Oh, my God.
That's a hell of a story to drop. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You're a sex creep, aren't you?
Jesus.
See, growing up for me, my neighbor had a schizophrenic mom who told my neighbor, her son, that my mom stole children. And so he wasn't allowed to go around the corner of our cul-de-sac to come play because my mom steals children, which, you know, the jury's still out on, but I don't think.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's my experience with that.
I'm going to be honest. I can't think of anything I'd want to steal less than a child.
Right? It's so much work.
Seems like a real hassle. I've never lived near a notorious sex house. I don't have any contribution. Like no story, nothing.
Kevin assured me you had lots of sex house stories.
No, unfortunately.
Creepy house stories, though, because like you're saying, like there's always a house that people go like, oh, that's like crazy man Carruthers or whatever.
Right, yeah. My neighbor, James Carruthers, he was kind of he was like an old crank, but like other than that, lived in a drafty old Victorian house.
So a large crowd gathers at this home and the police are called. And according to community leader Frank Nitti, which I don't know if that's a made-up name or a real name, but either way, great name.
Yeah,
really, killing it.
Yeah. According to Frank Nitti, police took forever to arrive, and he alleged in a live stream from the scene that a man believed to have knowledge of the incident ran from the home and was able to escape during this time.
Oof.
So by the time the police show up, the crowd is even larger, and they start breaking windows at the house. Riot police show up. It turns into this whole confrontation. And at one point, a fire is started in the alley, and the police go to respond to that.
Of course, because property.
Yeah, property is being damaged. They must intervene. But the protesters hit them with the old okie doke because they set that fire in the alley. And when police scurry over to put that out, they set the fucking house on fire.
Woo!
And
classic bait and switch.
Burned the house and a gold van that was parked behind it. Both were set on fire. This is a quote from Frank Nitti at the scene. This is stupid because all the evidence is in the house.
Yeah.
That's what I was. Do we know for a fact that it was the protesters who started the fire?
See, that's my question.
And which leads into that video that we'll probably get to later also, which
right.
raises more questions. Right. But yeah, I that's the thing is like, you just see, like you hear reports of like, there was a fire started, but the narrative is always like, these bad agitating protesters started a fire. Right. It's not, but they just say a fire started.
And as Frank says, it's, you know, it doesn't make any sense for the protesters to want to set the house on fire because of all, there's evidence in there.
Right. And weren't the girls maybe inside at the time too? Or did they like, were they not, who knows, right? Like, who knows?
It just feels like it makes more sense for, I don't know, the police to have started the fire.
Yeah.
Because they have been involved in some sort of sex trafficking scandal.
Certainly someone who would want to get rid of evidence.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not really being reported as part of this story, but the police, their actions during this event are really fucking suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And a yeah. lot of that has to do with a video. We'll play it. People at home, you'll be able to hear it, and I think you'll get the gist. Here it goes.
He got the whole look.
Oh, they bringing somebody out the bank.
Oh, he got the what's happening? What's happening?
Hey, bro, yeah, move with me so I can, my battery won't die.
Yeah, I'm coming with you. Fuck that. Bring his ass out. It took y'all long enough.
Right. Watch, buddy. Watch, buddy.
Hey,
I'm coming through here.
I got you.
They should just let us whoop his ass, dog.
Bro, I swear, if we rush their ass right now, they can't stop nobody.
Oh, they done pulled the van up to the door so they could sneak a shit out.
Hey, they sneaking shit out.
They sneaking shit out, dog.
Put that nigga on display.
Show that nigga face, dog.
Now.
Show that nigga face. My shit got blurry as a motherfucker. Clear up, iPhone. Oh, they sneaking niggas out, dog. They sneaking niggas and bitches out. Look at all the motherfuckers coming out of there, dog.
Hey,
look at all, dog.
Hey.
Hell no. Hell no. That van don't need to leave.
Down. It's kids coming out in handcuffs.
So it's hard to tell from the video because there's a lot of cars and people in the way, but there is a point in that video where you do see the police fucking leading people out of that house with their faces covered.
And they brought like their police van, like right up to the, was it the back of the house or something like that? Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part that, cause like in the first half of that video, I was like, I'm not sure what's happening. And then once you get that image, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's pretty suspect.
We'll link to the video. It was posted by a Twitter user named TheVelvet21. That's V with two E's.
Ooh.
And it's a pretty interesting video. Like, yeah. Why are the police, like, who are those people that were being led out of that house?
Right.
Because you wouldn't need to, like, necessarily, if they were, you know, like, if they were people who were being trapped there against their will, there wouldn't be any real reason to cover their faces, I guess. I mean, I don't know what the protocol is in that situation, but...
If they were children who were victims of this trafficking, then you would want to cover their sure. faces so that they're not getting photographed and, you know, passed around to the media and that sort of thing.
Right.
But... Right. As far as if there are adults who may be involved in this operation, you know, maybe they just don't want people to know that it's, you know, officer friendly.
Other cops. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting taken out.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
The police have since come out and said there was no sex trafficking happening at this house, which.
Sure.
That's convenient.
Very convenient. I remember reading, again, this is all just from Twitter, but it's from people who were literally there who were talking about the people who were outside protesting also went inside the house and found a lot of very incriminating things in there. I don't want to mention exactly what because it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that the house was burned down because I would like to know what was in there and if there were any actual crimes, but I'm sure the police will give us a very satisfying resolution.
Was there ever any follow-up on the two girls that were initially seen going from the van to the house? Like, have they been heard from or seen since?
The two girls in question have been found.
That's good, at least.
and they're not saying anything about the house, but who knows? I mean, if it's a sex trafficking thing that reaches any sort of higher level within the city.
Oh, absolutely.
No one's going to just come out and be like, yep, that's what was happening. I feel safe saying that right now.
Yeah, Jesus. I know the cops got my back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yikes. Big day.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like a month ago, and no one, there has not really been much major coverage of
this. I mean, since you sent, like, you sending me the article for this episode was the first I even fucking heard of it, which is, like, and I'm pretty glued into all of the terrible shit that's happening. Like, I don't, like, I'm not, like, you know, constantly, like, detaching. Like, I have my finger on the pulse of, like, every horrible thing that's happening in this country, and I'm like, this is the first I've heard of that? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I only heard of it because someone sent the story to me on Twitter.
Oh shit. So it's definitely not, it has no national traction whatsoever. This must have been someone that was close to it, or like has know somebody that's close to it.
Yeah, it's all local Milwaukee coverage.
Yeah, that's all I've heard from it, is people who were on the scene and taking photos and videos and that sort of thing.
I fucking love Milwaukee. Either of you ever been to Milwaukee?
I have not.
Yeah. It's a fun city.
It's cool.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah,
that's a weird... Yeah, just the end of that story. Shout out to Milwaukee. Really great place.
Yeah, you know, actually, I think, if anything, the events of the last couple of months are a really good testament to the quality of the people living in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. The fact that they showed up for these, you know, two missing girls and stuff, like, they weren't...
For the missing girls, showed up for the protest, on the first protest for George Floyd to begin with. Like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Remember when the Black Panthers threatened to, like, go on a shooting spree in Milwaukee if a bunch of demands they had weren't met? It was intense.
I hadn't heard that, but hell yeah.
It never happened. There was a rap group in the 90s called X-Clan. They were very, 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 very militant group. And at one point in one of their songs, the lead rapper just starts saying, 1995 is coming. 1995, start running. And that was their thing. At one point, they were like, if you don't change shit by 95, we're going to burn this fucking city to the ground. And the police probably all railroaded them, and they're all in prison now or something.
Or dead, yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is Adam, host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Question: are you looking for Unpops gear to wear on your body? If so, we have that now. Head to unpops.com/shop right damn now and get your t-shirts, get your sweatshirts, get your mugs, get your masks, get a onesie for your fucking kid. This store has it all. Again, that's unpops.com/shop. Go buy stuff. Thanks. We love you. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk about Portland.
Yeah, Jesus.
This shit is pretty crazy. We talked about it a little bit on last week's episode of In Broad Daylight, but there have been some updates since then. Basically, what's happening is these federal agents wearing fatigues and patches that literally just say police.
They got it at local fucking Joann Fabrics.
So insane.
Yeah. Like, they're patches that I'm pretty confident we could order on the internet right now.
Oh, absolutely. You can order almost, we'll get into this, but you can order almost every single piece of equipment that they were wearing on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For pretty cheap.
Yes. Or sexy cop costumes.
Yeah. Or just to kidnap people with no.
Yeah, exactly. I just get a white t-shirt and just draw police on it and just be like a lazy Halloween costume and then go commit hate.
Or. What if it's a sexy kidnapping costume?
Ooh, sexy kidnapper. Right? David Koresh style. Cool. Well, he's not a kidnapper, but you get it. He fucked.
He was
sexy.
He did fuck, notoriously.
Koresh had big dick energy.
David Koresh fucked. Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately. We can say one thing. Yes. Oh, God.
I'm going to be honest. Might be the only problem with that group is that David Koresh fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, it really lost him a lot of the moral high ground.
Pretty much like everything else
all
was
you
fine.
Had to do it, he's like Chris D'Elia. It's like you had everything. All you had to do was not fuck kids. And he's like, but oh, I want to. Curses.
So back to these fucking mystery cops.
Yeah.
What they're doing is just showing up at protests and snatching people off the street, throwing them in goddamn minivans, and driving off into the night to fingerprint yes. them and interrogate them. And for the longest time, people were like, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
And it turns out it's Customs and Border Patrol.
Shocker.
Yeah. The good men and women of Customs and Border Patrol.
But it's just a few bad apples from the Customs and Border Patrol things that are all yeah, just taking yeah. these orders and going to do it without questioning it.
There's nothing wrong with our Gestapo.
Yeah, because they're not going to hurt me. Tread on everyone but me.
I think the reason they're there is Trump was planning to deploy Customs and Border Patrol units called BORTAC units.
BORTAC.
BORTAC.
The mighty BORTAC.
And these are like the fucking Navy SEALs of Border Patrol. They're like they normally deal with cartels and shit like that. And Trump wanted to deploy them to sanctuary cities to basically help in deportations and immigration arrests. I personally think they were counting on that Supreme Court verdict over DACA to go a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they were expecting they would be deporting dreamers. But Trump had deployed all these troops, and then ICE stopped deporting people for a while. And it was, well, what are we going to do with them now?
Yeah, they were getting antsy.
What if we just make Hydra a real thing?
Have you ever dealt with a cranky ICE agent when he's not allowed to go out and extrajudiciously kidnap people?
Yeah, it's like a pit bull that still has its testicles. It's just too much.
They get all whiny and colicky, and you just can't get them to sleep.
Yeah, you got to give them someone to brutalize.
Come on. I mean, what are you expecting?
Or else they don't get all that brutality money in the budget next year.
They're only inhuman, guys. We can remember. So now that they're being patrolled, I remember reading specifically that Trump's thing was that because he wants to deploy. He did it in Portland, and then he's targeting specifically Democrat cities, which is like just fascism. Like you can't. There's no other way. There's no way that even with all the mental gymnastics that these fucking, you know, very flexible bootlicking supplicants are doing, it's very hard to say that's anything other than just straight up fascism. Like even for people that want to play devil's advocate, you know, white people on Facebook and shit.
Right.
It's really disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is almost everybody wanting to play devil's advocate is a fascist and likes fascism. Right.
That's true. I guess like because they want to present as like, no, I'm here for the facts and I just want to have but it's like, no, deep down you want the cops to win. Because you don't like brown people.
This is always how fascism was going to pop up in America in the guise of super patriotism. It's how it pops up in Germany and Italy.
Yep.
And this is absolutely part of Trump's campaign strategy.
Oh, yeah.
I did another episode of In Broad Daylight, a solo episode about Trump's Tulsa rally.
Whew.
The one we laughed it up about because not as many people attended as usual.
Right.
And that was his campaign launch rally. And he made it really clear in that rally that what his campaign strategy is going to be if these protests carry on, which they definitely are, is, oh, we'll see what's happening in these Democrat controlled cities. If you're tired of that, I'm the guy who can fix it.
Yep.
Right.
I will send in troops to fix it. And your problems will be solved and you can go back to having coffee with your friends in
spreading
the Capitol
viruses
Hill area. And at the beginning of the speech, he calls out the silent majority, which if people aren't familiar, that's a term Nixon made popular in 69. Nice.
dude, hell yeah. I just got hard.
And it referred to people who didn't participate in Vietnam War protests and who didn't join the counterculture and who didn't state their political views publicly.
Right.
And those are the people that helped Nixon win that election.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump's counting on this time, is people who aren't interested in joining Black Lives Matter protests, who aren't interested in being socialists, and who normally just don't participate in politics. He's hoping those people will be so scared and bothered by these protests that he will earn their vote on the promise to eradicate these protests. It's absolutely what Trump's doing.
Yeah. It's a, if Trump's, you know, the corporation person, the businessman, this is a very interesting and terrifying fourth quarter pivot for his business strategy. it's absolutely that, because like that is the thing, is like the silent majority is like, but I think like the thing that, I mean, he's counting on it, but the thing I think is like most people who, like he says, like, oh, people who are like scared of protests, like there's a lot of people who don't go to protests that are like, fuck this shit, like they're like, fuck you Trump, like fuck all this, but like they don't go because, you know, health reasons or like virus reasons or whatever reason, you know, just don't have the ability to get there. I think like in this case, I think the silent majority is on the right side of history, but it is definitely he's absolutely flailing to just like try to make people feel very separate from what's happening. Those pros, like, that's them over there and they're scary for you, you should be with me because I'm not scary.
Oh, Kevin. Oh, you sweet summer child.
I know. No, yeah, I know.
So naive.
I'm in a bubble. No, I got this Facebook sandwich group that got radicalized, and it opened my eyes to how many racists there are out there. No, I know. Trust me. We went from 50,000 members to 43,000 because we had to ban a lot of racists.
Well, at least you banned them.
Yeah.
Even though we talked about this on an episode of In Broad Daylight recently, there are some updates. For one,
right,
this group of moms showed up in Portland called the Wall of Moms.
Yeah.
And they showed up to act as a barrier between police and the protesters because they were like, the police aren't going to tear gas a bunch of moms.
oh, Portland. Oh, you sweet summer child.
The police just cracks their knuckles. They're like, all right, here we go.
So police immediately tear gas those moms.
Right, of course.
Obviously.
It took like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm laughing at the ridiculousness of how we've presented this information. Not that that's inherently funny. It's obviously a war crime.
Save it for this next piece of information, which, as much as I didn't want to, I did laugh very loud when I read this. They also tear gassed the fucking mayor of Portland.
I read about that last night, and I was just like, yo, that is crazy. Like, that's cartoons. That shit is animated cartoons.
That's something that would happen in a comedy where the mayor would show up and be like, well, they're not going to tear gas. Oh, fuck!
Yeah, it's a Parks and Rec episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yikes.
Leslie Knope goes out there and is like, well, the police won't tear gas me. I dated Louis C.K. and he was a cop. And
then he shot in the eye with a pepper bullet.
He like just personally rubber bullets her.
Yeah. And then jerks
off.
She
loses an eye.
Oh, God. I forgot he was in that show.
Like, it's terrifying that they tear gas the mayor, but also like, commit to the bit. I get it.
At this point, there's no going back. Like, what else could they, what are like, what, who haven't they tear gassed? They've tear gassed babies and children and moms, mayors, like cripples, like everything, right? They've tear gassed every kind of person. They have
cripples.
Cripples.
Is that not handicapped peoples? I'm sorry, I'm worked up.
You're
and I'm
canceled.
Okay, fine.
I'm canceling you.
I was doing my impression of another white guy. No, but like, so I was sorry, but I was getting riled up. But I was just thinking about like literally what, like, what horrible thing haven't they done? Like, they've hit. Yeah, it's disgusting.
They're gonna have to tear gas a pet.
Yeah,
at this point, it's gonna have to be someone.
They shot
like
a dog, right?
Oh, did they? Okay, never mind. Yeah, shit.
They shoot, well, police shoot dogs all the time.
That is true.
That is a classic story. They show up and the dog is barking and they shoot the dog.
They're going to like break a rabbit's neck in front of a child and be like, ah, like just like they have to just become like fucking supervillains, more so than the Hydra agents they already are.
Have they pepper sprayed a dog during these protests?
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know. I would kind of like to see them try.
Or a cat.
Oh, like a kitty.
Lil Kitty.
But then they have to, then you get like the cell phone video of this like armored cop chasing around a cat with the pepper spray, trying to like get it, and it,
trying
and
to get
can't.
It in a tree. It's like in a tree, and he's like trying to climb the tree in his fucking stormtrooper gear.
Yeah,
just faffing about.
That'd be good.
Even more concerning about Trump deploying these federal agents to Portland, he's going to start doing it all around the country now.
Absolutely.
Not just in response to protests, but sometimes in response to protests, but also just in response to crime and gun violence.
Crime with a big capital C.
Yeah, which has gone up in, it has gone up pretty significantly in a few major cities. Chicago, for example, had 116 murders last month, which was a 200% increase over the same time last year.
Dang.
But also in every one of those cities, the mayors are like, no, don't send fucking federal agents here. Like we could use some law enforcement assistance to track guns and things, but not
I
this.
I will not let your federal thugs in here to beat my citizens. My cops are going to beat my citizens.
This is a for us, by us situation. We are homegrown police brutality, okay? Everything is locally sourced.
It's a states' rights issue. Yeah,
it's a big states' rights situation with a big fucking big wink. Good
but,
God.
Yeah, that's apparently what's going to happen next is he's going to start sending these federal agents into major American cities to deal with crime. And I've said for years and years and years that if any president is ever going to make that liberal dream of no guns in America come true, it'll be Trump. It's just that this is what it will look like.
Yeah, it'll be it'll be no guns for citizens in America, obviously, and it'll be that there will be just like roving federal death squads that have all the guns and will just be like afraid to leave our homes like we were when they brought the National Guard in and were shooting fucking shit through people's windows and stuff.
And it will be exactly what this is. It will be Trump sending heavily militarized police forces into poor communities, basically.
I do feel like that definitely would not be a pre-election. That feels like a second term move, because his voter base is also very activated by the Second Amendment. And I feel like that would be too big of an electoral risk to even touch that right now.
To lose the 2A crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the other thing that this opens up the possibility to, Olivia mentioned earlier, a lot of the, pretty much everything these mystery troops are wearing, it's shit you can just like go to an army surplus store or go online.
Terrifying.
This is something I've been thinking about a lot.
There has been at least one report of KKK members showing up at these protests wearing what looks like police
gear
with fucking zip ties on them, getting ready to fucking round people
up. That is the modern boogaloo, like militia, like protest outfit right now, is just that sort of tactical heavy military gear with no, you know, markings.
And no face mask, because that's for cucks.
It's so easy to go on. All you have to do is go on Amazon. You spend like $200 and you can look just like one of these federal agents and just kidnap whoever you want. Or you could even point, like if someone's pissing you off and you want them to go away, why don't you go down, point at them and say, hey, this person's resisting arrest. And then the real cops will come in and do the job for you, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, that's clearly one of us, one of our guys over there. Like, why would they ever differentiate? They just want to grab.
Yeah, they don't need any excuse to rough someone up and
they're not
going to
be like, show me your badge. They're going to be like, oh, hell yeah, more flesh to punch.
All they hear is he's resisting, and then they're ready to go. And so it's so easy right now for extremely dangerous people to take advantage of this kind of a situation.
Yeah. And another way it's being taken advantage of is there's an example from New York City where they just recently cleared a protest that's been happening for weeks now called Occupy City Hall.
Right.
Where protesters have just been camped out at City Hall in New York City demanding that they defund the police. And what's happening now that Trump has made this threat to deploy federal agents is places like New York City are going, well, we don't want Trump to deploy federal agents, so we're just going to break up that protest ourselves. And that's what they did. They went in and cleared out this Occupy City Hall protest, and that was their reasoning was, well, it's not really about the protest anymore, and also we don't want Trump to send those troops here. So,
right.
Which, what's the difference?
Well, they're selfish cowards. They're selfish cowards who are like, well, we don't want to have to deal with this, so fuck your whole thing. Well, also, they don't want to defund the police anyway. Like, they're actively resisting that.
Of course.
So it works out nicely for for them. It doesn't work out for anybody that actually exists in the real world. But
and de Blasio in particular has such a weird Dom sub relationship with the NYPD where they are constantly trying to cuck him with his like family and, you know, using his daughter as like a gambling chip to get what they want. It's a very toxic and strange relationship.
It'd be cool if it was just about fucking, but it's not.
Yeah. No, it's not at all.
Not even close.
Would be cool though.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's
we're not here
word.
To kink shame. We're here to tear the fucking society down.
Speaking of the NYPD, it's also been reported that they were just kind of disappearing protesters back in June. Hundreds of Black Lives Matter protesters were detained in holding cells without masks, obviously, for days and without being able to call family or lawyers. Attorneys from the Legal Aid Society had to go to court to get them released. They filed a lawsuit alleging that more than 400 people were being held illegally, and the judge sided with the cops. He gave a one-line decision that just said all writs are denied, which is writ of habeas corpus.
He did say Baba Booey afterwards also.
Yeah,
right?
Howard Stern rules.
Well, as if habeas corpus hasn't been fucking discarded for 15 years now, basically, but that's like a final nail.
Yeah, that's just like, just in case you were wondering how much we don't follow the law, here's one more final piece.
Yeah, and one of the lawyers for Legal Aid in this interview with The Intercept, which I'll link to, he was like, the law is the law, man.
Yeah.
And under current law in New York, if you've been arrested, you have to go in front of a judge within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And there's no coronavirus exception. There's no protest exception to that law. So this judge just ignored the fucking law and was like, well, yeah, you can't still do that with coronavirus happening. And it's like, where the fuck does the law say that?
So you could definitely play baseball, but you can't do that.
Jesus.
I'm still excited about baseball.
I
know.
Not to take away your baseball excitement. I didn't mean that to be like that. I'm saying like whenever people are very selective about when they think that social distancing and coronavirus restrictions should come into play. And it's absolutely bastardized for gross shit like this all the time where it's like, well, we can't do that because coronavirus. But also like have your parties, like do whatever. We're not going to crack down on that at all. Like, but when it comes to human rights, we're not going to. No, that's too dangerous to have too many people there.
Man.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about a specific example of that in one second. But just a reminder that this is the same NYPD that probably at the same time this was happening, they also were teaming up with the FBI and interrogating protesters about their political beliefs, which if you've been arrested for a curfew violation,
the fuck?
They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
That's not crazy.
Like, that's not the kind of thing they get to interrogate you over.
Right.
But that's what was happening. People were getting arrested for curfew violations and being literally interrogated by the FBI about their views on anti-fascism. And it's like, what are you saying, FBI?
Yeah. Why do you care?
Yeah, like you want fascism? Is that why you're worried about people's thoughts on anti-fascism?
No, we're just playing devil's advocate. We at the FBI. We're just like, hypothetically, like, you guys are actually the anti-fascists are kind of acting like fascists now, wouldn't you say? Fucking jacks off all of themselves.
We went to the marketplace of ideas, and this is what we came back with.
It bears to be said that this is not, this whole disappearing of protesters thing is not new or unique to these current Black Lives Matter protests. Back in the first Black Lives Matter protests in Baltimore and in Ferguson, there were protesters who, there was video taken of them at the protests, and the cops used that to track them down and make them disappear. And it's kind of a running theme on all these anti-police protests, surprisingly enough.
And the ICE, and like all the ICE disappearances too, like the, oh, we just lost like hundreds of people detained by ICE. It's all part of the same fucking bloody late stage capitalism death wheel.
And ICE, of course, that is obviously on a policy level. It's just, I think the similarities between specifically Ferguson NYPD things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and some of those Ferguson protesters disappeared for real.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like literally have been missing or presumed dead since.
So yeah, that is still happening. Woo! And I mentioned that we would bring up an example of what Kevin was talking about, and here it is. As mentioned, the protests, again, are still happening on a very large scale, including globally.
Yeah.
Case in point, Australia has a Black Lives Matter protest scheduled for next week in Sydney. And boy, is the Prime Minister mad about that.
They should call him the Prime Madister.
Right?
Crikey.
Shrimp he's, on Barbie.
He's piping mad. That was not Australian.
Hello, bruv.
Hey.
I'm from Australia, he's.
I know this is shocking because Australia is normally so progressive when it comes to racial stuff.
Right. I mean, yeah, totally. Who would have seen this coming?
I remember one time on Thanksgiving, someone I know from Australia like tweeted a thing about, oh, happy Genocide Day, Americans. It's like, motherfucker, you're from Australia. You have a feast for the exact same goddamn reason.
That's the pot calling the kettle a rolly.
That's not a genocide. This is a genocide.
Oh, is it Paul Rogan?
Jesus, it's Paul Hogan.
No, it's a Joe Rogan time.
Yeah, okay.
It's a really good joke. It's a really good joke.
It's great.
I'm just trying to say anything that's kind of funny because this episode is bumming me out so much.
And you are saying things that are kind of funny.
I miss podcasting with you.
I miss podcasting with you.
I would argue this is one of the less depressing episodes we've had.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair. It's for the times.
They've been some real bummers. So the Prime Minister of Australia, his name's Scott Morrison, which you shouldn't be a politician named Scott Morrison.
No, you should be.
You should be a bully.
Fronting a grunge band.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. And he thinks that given everything that's happening with coronavirus, gathering for a protest is just irresponsible.
Of course.
Granted, the protests in the U.S. have not led to any noticeable spikes in coronavirus cases, unless you ask Fox News, which is the only outlet reporting that they have.
Oh, wait. Well, then we should hear it out.
How did they mess up? Did they get the wrong information? They should look into that. They might not want to be reporting the wrong things. They're not doing it on purpose, right?
They were probably just misinformed by the cops. We're all victims of police violence, including Fox News. Yeah, because with the protests, the way police were responding, if you weren't at the protest, you didn't want to fucking be out. So it's sort of the same way coronavirus has temporarily fixed our problems with pollution, where like so many people are off the roads and staying home that like the environment has gotten better. With the protests, because so many people were staying home, they weren't out spreading coronavirus. Right. And people at protests were wearing masks.
Exactly.
So
they were wearing masks. And then like the people that were staying home either because they weren't at the protests or because their fucking city shut them in their homes at 5 p.m. with a mandatory curfew with 1 hour's notice and just like, other fascism things.
Right. So it's not to say that there weren't any coronavirus cases that happened at the protest, just that one they were basically outweighed by the fact that so many people were staying home.
It wasn't statistically significant.
Right. And here's the thing. The state of New South Wales, where Sydney is located, we all knew that, already allows gatherings at football matches, but not the good kind, hotels, and shopping centers.
That's what I thought. They're opening up already.
And I believe this protest is going to be an indoor thing, which is weird.
Yeah.
But in that case, like...
get a new venue.
Well, if you're already allowing indoor gatherings...
It's crazy hypocritical bullshit. Yeah, absolutely. And we all know soccer fans aren't... they're not going to socially distant. They're going to be fucking beating the shit out of each other when one goal happens. Like, it's not... it's going to be... like, that's a way more problematic place for people to be.
Yeah. And this is a quote from protest organizer Paul Silva. These protests are being singled out by the New South Wales police and the government, and that's because they see the support from all different nationalities, people of all different walks of life, and they know our message is definitely getting across. I would agree with that.
Yeah. It's hard not to.
Yeah. And just imagine being on that side of history. Being like, no, we can't have Black Lives Matter protests in my country.
You're
already right on the edge, Australia. Yeah. Don't make us give you to Russia.
Ugh. Yeah, it's just like I'm really fascinated in like a macabre way of like trying to understand the mentality of someone who's like, by all accounts, like statistically, like a smart. Not saying that this guy is smart, like these people are smart, but like. Like just being like, I understand everything. I understand the movement, but I just don't want to be a part of it. Because then, like, I don't want to. It's political. It's like, no, it's not. It's literally just saying people around you shouldn't be killed. And to be like, yeah, but that's too rich for my blood. It's like, who the fuck are these people? I don't understand it because I have nothing in common with them, I guess. I guess that's what
it is. Complacency.
Yeah, that's true.
You're comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember someone I used to work with at one point. I think it was around the time of the Michael Brown murder. No, probably even later than that. But at one point he tweeted, I'm tired of being worried about alienating fans. Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And it's like, motherfucker, before this you were worried about alienating racists?
Oh, I saw one of the best ones when noted Christian actor Chris Pratt tweeted his Black Lives Matter take after George Floyd was murdered. He was just like, I just can't find the words right now to express how I feel. And then somebody retweeted with just, how fucking hard is it to say Black Lives Matter, you coward? Yeah. it's like these people are like, oh, it's so fucking lame. And it's like, I don't want to lose my followers if I support, life. Ugh.
So let's talk about one last thing, which is kind of a public service announcement. If you're not going to stop entirely, at least be very careful when you're live streaming protests.
Absolutely.
Just take Portland as an example. In the area of Portland where these protests are focused, security cameras in the area have been destroyed and stolen and vandalized. And why? Because motherfuckers don't want to be on camera.
Right.
When they're tearing the fucking city to the ground because they refuse to defund the police.
Yep.
And then here comes every fucking citizen journalist with their goddamn phone, which if you're taking your phone to a protest and streaming from there, that's like you're not even supposed to take your fucking phone.
Yeah.
That's how the authorities track us these days. But people will show up with their phones and start live streaming these protests. And I get it, like, oh, amplify voices and all that. But what you're also doing is giving law enforcement something to just sit back and watch.
Yeah. It's like, did you learn nothing from Standing Rock when we all checked in on Facebook and Standing Rock just to throw off the cops?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. No, yeah. 100%.
And one of the things that just happened with the protests in Portland, someone was live streaming one of the protests and the cops were just watching it because why wouldn't they?
Right.
And in this video, they saw a protester take a flaming wooden board and place it against the exterior wall of the federal courthouse. And then a second protester picks it up and moves it and leans it against more wood. So a fire starts. And then a third protester puts out the fire and it's fine. But that second protester, when he walked away, he turned his face toward the camera. And the law enforcement that was watching, in particular a Department of Homeland Security intelligence operations specialist.
Fucking terrifying.
Analyzed the footage, took screenshots of the protester's face, sent them to federal agents. Those agents arrested a man named Benjamin Weir, who has since been charged with attempted arson of a federal building. If convicted, he faces a sentence of 5 to 20 years in prison.
Jesus.
It's fucking horrific, especially if, what if it was just like a feng shui thing and he wanted to just move, like realign the boards to make it look more pleasant. But 5 to 20 years is nothing to riff on. That's disgusting. And it's fucked up that, you know, I mean, it's obviously always been a surveillance state, but now like that job title you described, what was it again? The intelligence operations specialist. Yeah, that's some Hydra shit again. Like, I keep mentioning Hydra because I'm watching a lot of Marvel movies lately, but it's the same. Like, it's they're just like, oh, we know exactly where everybody is and we're going to, you know, just do whatever we want to them because we have the technology and the power and no one's going to try to stop us. Like, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I don't completely understand the point of live streaming a protest.
I understand the filming brutality, like a cop. So you try to get the cop fired or arrested. I get that part of it. Like, turn your phones on when a cop starts wiling out. But I kind of agree with you on that, too.
But just being in the middle of the crowd and holding up your phone and going, hey, look, we're all protesting. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, that I don't have a lot of patience for. There are people who do it correctly, and there are organizations that are dedicated to these sorts of things that train
like outlets and
their
stuff.
Right, that train their people on the ground how to be as safe as it's possible to be while still giving people information from these events. Because I do think it's important for just everyone to see what is happening at these protests in a on-the-ground way. But it's less useful when it's just some random person in the middle of it with their phone. Just filming indiscriminately and posting
for like 30 minutes or like an hour.
Right. Instead of people who are legitimately there to try to safely document the event.
But like, yeah, I mean, and I do get it. I get that people's intentions are good most of the time. Like, I don't doubt that some of those citizen journalists are not on the right side.
Sure. I will say that happened to me at a month ago at a protest I was at in Studio City. A guy who was on a bike who rolled by where we were protesting in this corner got in my face, and he was trying to like antagonize the group because it was, you know, all peaceful. No one was breaking shit and stuff. And like, he was like trying to like stir stuff up. And then he's like, man, I'm going to film your ass. And he pulled out his camera and I was like, dude, like, get away from me. Like, I don't know who you are. I did not consent to this. Like, and I just walked away and I told everyone else to like just not engage with him and don't let him. And he just like lingered around the outskirts of the protest, mugging us for most of the time. But it's absolutely, it was very weird to have that experience for sure. He like pulled out like a GoPro or something. It was crazy.
Probably a fucking cop.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. He came back like 3 times over the course of like 3 hours too. So probably a cop. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at the point in my life where I assume everyone's a cop until I'm proven otherwise.
Better safe than sorry.
Like, if a new person shows up in my life, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dude, Adam, every car that's behind me on the road is an undercover cop car. Like, every time, like, I'm just like, yeah, of course, that's an undercover cop. And so, you know, I'd be careful.
I don't drive. So I think that's our episode. Does anyone have any final thoughts on the police and protesters?
There's many sides to this. We have to like, after all of that, I'm like, just the worst. I'm like, we got to really hear about all of it though. Like, we only talked about I can't even do that bit. I hate it. I don't know, fucking support whatever is in your area, people listening, your community. There's bail funds everywhere you can support to get protesters out of jail. You know, fuck it. Fuck the cops. Fuck the police. ACAB. Fuck 12.
Fuck the police.
I need a sandwich.
Fuck the police. Keep protesting. Don't stop. If you're able to get out there and be on the street, do it. If you can't, support in however way that you're able to. Don't stop talking to people about it. Don't let people forget what's going on. I think that's the most important thing.
Totally.
I will sort of plug something as my closing thoughts. If you want to hear more about this topic, on this week's episode of Conspiracy the Show, which goes up tomorrow with me and Fizza Dasani, tomorrow as this is released, we're talking about the Breonna Taylor murder.
Sure.
And how that might be tied to a gentrification plan that is happening in Louisville. And her family recently amended their lawsuit and made that exact claim that the warrants that were issued that ultimately led to her death were not about taking down high-level drug dealers. They were about getting a motherfucker to move so they could tear his house down and gentrify
a
neighborhood.
That's one way to do it. Let's get him to move in a body bag. Like, what? That's a little on the nose, cops. Jesus, have some subtlety if you're going to be a racist piece of shit.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucking crazy story, and it seems like they might be onto something.
I'm definitely listening to that. I am. I'm going to listen to that. I'm very interested in hearing that.
It's another example of stories related to Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter protests that just is not getting talked about that much. But it's a crazy one.
And if you're listening to this, you know, the next Bleak and Review that's coming out, I just want to hype. We talk a lot about farts and I got nothing else. I don't
racist.
Yeah,
farts.
Racist farts. It's a fart that only comes from the sweat of a boot that you licked. It really adds some stank to your fart. It's so leathery and up the ass of the government.
So I think that's our episode. We already plugged stuff, but unpopsnetwork.supercast.tech. You can subscribe to the network. Also, unpops.com/shop. Go buy yourself some shirts for your torso.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Kevin, say goodbye.
@KB Anderson, yo.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.